no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now. You are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 22nd day of June. We are all over the place in the Word. Finished the book of Ecclesiastes the other day, learned about the meaning of life. We're back in the story of King Solomon, who we sadly said goodbye to yesterday. And then today, we're going to finish the book of Proverbs together, reading chapters 30 and 31. Yesterday, we began a brand new translation. Today, we continue with the Christian Standard Bible. Proverbs chapters 30 and 31. The words of Agur, son of Jacob. The pronouncement. The man's oration to Athiel and Ucal. I am more stupid than any other person, and I lack a human's ability to understand. I have not gained wisdom, and I have no knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his hands? Who has bound up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son, if you know? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Don't add to his words, or he will rebuke you, and you will be proved a liar. Two things I ask of you. Don't deny them to me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, "Who is the Lord?" Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of my God. Don't slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you, and you will become guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filth. There is a generation, how haughty its eyes and pretentious its looks. There is a generation whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, devouring the oppressed from the land and the needy from among mankind. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. Three things are never satisfied. Four never say enough. Sheol, a childless womb. Earth, which is never satisfied with water. And fire, which never says enough. As for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. Three things are too wondrous for me. Four, I can't understand. The way of an eagle in the sky. The way of a snake on a rock. The way of a ship at sea. And the way of a man with a young woman. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, "I've done nothing wrong." The earth trembles under three things. It cannot bear up under four. A servant when he becomes king, a fool when he is stuffed with food, an unloved woman when she marries, and a servant girl when she ousts her queen. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are not a strong people, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are not a mighty people, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. Locusts have no king, yet all of them march in ranks. A lizard can be caught in your hands, yet it lives in kings' palaces. Three things are stately in their stride, four are stately in their walk. A lion, which is mightiest among beasts and doesn't retreat before anything, a strutting rooster, a goat, and a king at the head of his army. If you have been foolish by exalting yourself, or if you've been scheming, put your hand over your mouth. For the churning of milk produces butter, and twisting a nose draws blood, and stirring up anger produces strife. The words of King Lemuel, a pronouncement that his mother taught him. What should I say, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? Don't spend your energy on women, or your efforts on those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire beer. Otherwise, he will drink, forget what is decreed, and pervert justice for all the oppressed. Give beer to one who is dying, and wine to one whose life is bitter. Let him drink so that he can forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Speak up for those who have no voice, for the justice of all who are dispossessed. Speak up, judge righteously, and defend the cause of the oppressed and needy. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good, and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff, and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gates. This concludes the book of Proverbs today. And boy, if you want to learn a lesson on how to be humble and humility, let's look at the beginning of the reading today. I am more stupid than any other person, and I lack a human's ability to understand. I have not gained wisdom, and I have no knowledge of the Holy One. I think the takeaway that we can hear in this writing from the author is an honest admission of human weakness and a need for a God who is great. And I personally love the four things mentioned that are so difficult to understand, have everything to do within creation, within God's domain and God's doing. These wonders and marvels have nothing to do with the ways of man, but rather a reflection of the wonder of the hand of God. And then we have the infamous Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman that I think as women we read this and we just want to give up. Like, maybe I should just quit now. I'm not even ahead, but let me just quit now. Ain't no way. I'm cutting that cake right there. To feel a little shame and guilt and shut down is not the point. The context of Proverbs 31 is to hear the reflection of wisdom from the writer that was taught by his mother. And it takes a wise, noble woman to teach their son how to look for a wise and noble woman. And I would argue that the takeaway of Proverbs 31 is to recognize that a woman's character, the heart of a woman, who she is, not what she does, is what is essential to this world. It's essential in choosing a companion, choosing a mate. And ladies, I say this as a woman in work, in progress. We are human beings. We do a lot as women, as wives, as moms, as wives and moms and grandmoms. There's a lot on our plate. And please hear me. There's not one more superior than the other. It's just that when you are a wife and a mom, and then you add grandmother, there's a lot more to manage. It doesn't make us any more significant or superior. There's a lot of responsibility at the heart of a woman, period. And I would say that it's fair to say, as society, we put a lot of emphasis on the wife and the mom and the value. And so many times a woman can be overlooked or dismissed for not having those other titles. And what a tragic disservice we're doing to the heart of a woman by doing so. And I think this is the point of Proverbs 31, that outside of striving to be a wife, striving to be a mom, striving for who to become, we work and cultivate on the heart, the soil of who we are, at the character, the integrity of us as a woman, first and foremost. Because if we don't know who we are as a woman, we will be completely lost. As a wife, we will be a complete disaster. As a mother, and I say this as a recovering disaster, and I've heard this message preached my whole life. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are in Christ. And I thought I had it. I thought I was doing real good. And maybe if you're there, maybe if you're a woman and you're like, yeah, I think I've got it too, but there's some things missing. I don't know how to tell you to find it. I don't know how to give you the formula and say, if you can define these things, then you're good with who you are in Christ. But I can tell you, if you make a list of the qualities that you possess as a woman, and your list lacks anything good, there's some work to do. If you don't know who you are outside of the opinion of people, if who you are is based on the messages that you've heard along the way of life, and there's not a lot of positivity in them, you have heard the wrong things, and you have believed the wrong things to be true about yourself. And there's a really good chance that you are trying to please man. You're trying to live a certain approval, seeking, striving for a certain approval that you may never find. You may be in a cycle of acceptance that you will never find. If you do not know definitively who you are, if you do not know definitively how you perceive love, if you do not know your values, the things that matter to you, honesty, authenticity, trust, mutual respect, kindness, caring, compassion. Google a list of values, and if you look at that list and you don't know what is up and what is down and what is sideways, then there's some work for you to do. And this is work that requires you and God alone. Another really great place to start if you just don't know who you are is to get quiet with God and ask Him. Who do you say I am? How do you see me? And please know that if you start rattling off some things, like you talk excessively, that's probably not from God. It's probably a deceptive voice, a message that is imprinted in your psyche. And that doesn't mean God won't show you some things that, you know, might need some work on. But if you imagine yourself having a conversation with one of your children, if you are a parent, and they come to you and say, "Mom, how do you see me? Who do you say that I am?" Which, side note, this is a really important question we're going to explore in the New Testament. I don't think any of us, as a loving parent, would start rattling off a list of negative things that we need our children to know to work on. I think how we would answer this is with the most beautiful qualities that we can see past the surface and into the heart of who they are. None of us would say, "Well, I think you're bad," if it doesn't start with the very same thing that God said after He created man, which is He stood back and said, "Good. Good. You are good." We want to rise to the calling of good. We want to be what our Father, the Creator of humanity, stood back and called good. And if you have believed anything about yourself to be true other than you are good, then let me just remind you today that the God of all creation, of all humanity, who created you and knit you together in your mother's womb, who delights in you, He calls you good. And if you don't know anything else to be true about yourself today, maybe you can believe that you are good. You are worthy of love. You are loved. You are known. You are cherished. You are forgiven. And no matter who in your life has spoken anything other than these things, there is not more weight in the power of words of man than the truth of how the Creator of your being sees you. And I pray today that you surrender to that knowledge of who God says you are. And that we will be women and men seeking righteousness, to know that the heart, at the very heart of who we are, matters far more than any noble thing that we can do. Because when our heart is good and right, we will seek the voice of truth and righteousness and follow the path of righteousness. So Father, I thank you for every woman that is hearing these words today. I pray for every woman to know at the core of their heart that they are good, that they are loved, that they are worthy of love. They are worthy of being known. And I pray, God, that they would come to know the truth of who you have created them to be, made in the image of you, Almighty God. Our reflection reflects the God of the universe. And when we rid ourselves of the evil of the things that we have adapted that felt right or felt good or were handed to us, and we reject them and replace them for righteousness. We shine the light of the Father to the world, and we will light up the darkness by our being, by our existence. Have your way in this space, I pray now. And I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.